קבעו כזול, ספיגי לאה וללנה. That's your part, that. אה וללנה. Let's try it. Oh, I'll tell you when. Oh, yeah, you just did it. That was good. So I'll do it again, and then you come in when it's your time. Nice to see you. I was trying to reach you. You don't have to say that part. You didn't have to tell everybody that, but that's okay. Anyway. Vuka vuka zol sesfigi le a ulele na so gibali basi zol siete guini a ulele na so bonu loat la zol gumba maka kazi. Now listen. Ah ulele na ulele na ah ulele na. Here we go. Ah ulele na ulele na do that again. Good. Keep going. Oh, I wanted you to keep singing. Ah, ulele na, ulele na. Ah, ulele na. Ah, ulele na, ulele na. Ah, ulele na. Ah, ulele na, ulele na, ulele na, ulele na. Yeah! Yeah, boom! All right. Yay! Thank you. We just sang a Zulu song that I first heard many years ago in 1986. I learned it from my friend Tsklina Mhlophe, who's a storyteller and an actress and a writer and just my big sister in storytelling since 1986. And that song is a song that she did in a play that she'd written many years ago called Have You Seen Zandile? And over the years, Tsklina and I have gotten together. We always love to sing that song. But you are the first group that I ever tried to teach it to. Yay! Give yourselves a hand. And what we said was, wake up, Zola. Are you sleeping? We're going to get on the bus and we're going to go to Durban and we're going to see that ocean making waves, making waves, making waves. Are you sleeping? Are you sleeping? Are you sleeping? Wake up, Zola. Wake up. Ah. So Tsklina is one of the people that I got to spend time with on my five-week journey to South Africa. I went there as part of a fellowship. I got some money so I could go and hang out and see specifically what was happening in black storytelling. So since Tsklina's been my friend forever, of course I had to spend time with her. And then I went to spend time with the Zanindaba Storytellers, which is the first organization of storytellers in South Africa that Tsklina started 17 years ago and is now on its third director. And so that was good, but what I also wanted to make sure I did was to spend time with some elders, you know, some old people who tell stories. And not just any elders, but there was one in particular that I wanted to see. His name is Vusamazulu Credo Mutwa. Anybody ever heard of his name before? Oh, you're laughing at me, huh? Like, yeah, right, uh-huh, sure. Vusamazulu Credo Mutwa. His name means the awakener of the Zulus. Now, I had been told about him several years ago by another storyteller friend of mine by the name of Teju Olugboni. He was here last year, and he was here sometime during the year as a storyteller in residence. And when he knew that I was traveling back and forth to South Africa, he would say, if you ever, ever get the chance to meet this man, Vusamazulu Credo Mutwa, oh, you have got to do it, Valerie. He is my hero. And since I really admire the work of Teju, I thought anybody he admires has to be really fabulous. So I started to look him up. And I found that this is a man who has published many books. He's a writer because he's a storyteller first and foremost. He is of the highest level in the Zulu tradition of healing. He is a Sanusi, which means he's at the highest level you can reach, and there are only about 6 or 7 of them at all. And I knew that he was 88 years old, and so I knew I needed to see him if I could. So when I finished with my time in Durban alongside that ocean, I got in my rental car, which was a little cute blue thing. And they drive inside out and backwards in South Africa. I don't know if you know that, but they do. And so there I was driving away from the coast, and I drove to Johannesburg. I stayed in Johannesburg as little as possible, and I jumped back in the car. And then I drove north, and I drove west about 7 hours until I came to a small town at the edge of the Kalahari. And there I found Baba Mutwa. Not just Baba Mutwa, but a whole family all gathered around, and they knew that I was coming, and his wife Virginia was there, and she greeted me, and Baba greeted me, and there he was. He's not so tall, and he's kind of wide, and he's got a big round face and very thick glasses because he doesn't see too well, and he had this shawl around his shoulder. It's not a shawl, actually. It's a cloth, and it's what the healers wear, the traditional ones, and so he greeted me, and they opened up their home to me. And when we sat down in their living room on these carved wooden chairs that were in Victorian style with red velvet cloth, he said, "What is it you want, Mom?" And I said, "Well, I would just like to spend some time with you, if that's all right." I'd already made the arrangements with his wife, but, you know, this was necessary. He said, "Very well. I planned to be with them for a week." And so I was there in this little tiny town right on the edge of the Kalahari Desert with the Zulu family for a week. And some days were ordinary, you know, ordinary days. We'd drink tea in the morning, and we'd sit around, and we would have lunch, and we would sit around. And sometimes he would carve, and sometimes he would paint, and oftentimes Virginia would show me the projects that they were working on and talk about their vision for a healing center, a health clinic right out in the back, where they would do Western medicine and traditional healing, because you see, as Baba Mutwa said, AIDS is destroying our people. Our people here are dying. But we know how to grow the plants to heal them. And Virginia, not only does she know the old way, but she is a Western nurse as well. And of course, I was always waiting for the stories to fall out. And one afternoon, Baba and I went outside, and we sat in the back, and we were sitting on this bench area, and we were looking off in the distance where there was this mountain with these nice little round things, you know how mountains do that thing. And the sun was just starting to slide down in the west. And so I asked Baba what he thought about storytelling now, and he said, "Well, you know, the tea company had a nice idea, but they went about it all wrong." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, they got these students with their fancy clothes and their fancy recorders, and they sent them out into the villages and the rural areas, and they told them to gather up the old people and ask them stories." And I said, "Well, what was wrong with that, Baba?" He said, "That is not our tradition. You can't just tell a story any old time." I said, "Well, what is the tradition, Baba? When do you tell a story?" "Oh, ma'am," he said, "don't you know that stories are to be told at the end of the day, when the work is finished, and when that sun slides all the way down in the west and slips off, and when the old grandmothers gather the sticks and they make a fire? And even they don't tell when the fire is big and bright. They wait until the embers are there. And then they take those sticks and they toss those embers up to give light to the darkness above." "And then the go-go's," that's grandmother, "then the go-go's need to shake their shoulders and wait to see what stories settle into their bones." I see. He was looking off, and then he said, Kwesukesukela. And I knew what that meant. It meant, I've got a story, so I gave him the answer, Kosi, tell it. Do you know how it is that the birds saved the earth? No, Baba, how did the birds save the earth? Tell me, how did they save the earth? And he told me, you see, long ago, there was a drought for such a long time. All the birds and animals were struggling. Why, there had been animals that had been born and walked on four legs and died without ever feeling a raindrop on their fur. Can you imagine? And the birds called a great meeting. The emperor of the birds did. It was the vulture. And he said that all of the birds must come together on the point of death. And so, in the shadow of a mountain, all the birds gathered. And the vulture said, we come here giving honor to the great Earth Mother and honor to the Sky Father, but we have troubles here and we need an emissary to go to the land of the gods way up above the clouds and ask for the rain to fall. Owl, you are the wise one. You make the plan. And so Owl turned head in one direction and head in the other and opened up big eyes and spoke a plan. And when Vulture heard that, Vulture said, this is what we shall do. Fish Eagle, you come here. And so Fish Eagle came, spread out your wings. And so Fish Eagle did. And now Dove, you come. And so Dove came and climb on the back of Fish Eagle and spread out your wings. And so Dove did. And Sparrow, little Sparrow, where are you? And little Sparrow came, get on the back of the dove. And so little Sparrow did. Now you have heard the plan. Now you must go and bring us the rain. And so those birds took off. First that Fish Eagle with each other bird on top. And that Fish Eagle flew way up over the dry and barren ground, way up over the mountains, way up past the clouds, until that Fish Eagle put its face right into the edge of the deep, dark space. And then that Fish Eagle was exhausted and said, Dove, you must take over now. And then that Fish Eagle dived back down to earth, and Dove leapt up and flew into that deep, dark space, past the stars and past the planets, through the Milky Way, past the Pleiades, all past the Dog Star, and then looked down and saw that his beloved was making eyes with another bird. And when the dove saw that, he had a heart attack right then and started to plummet right back down to the earth. But Sparrow had time to leap up off and find his way all the way up to the land of the gods. And when little Sparrow got there, little Sparrow found the home of the great Sky Father. It is kind of fun. You can try it if you want. Are you trying it? I didn't really hear you. Let's do it again. Sparrow was at the door. Sky Father, who's calling my name? Come and show yourself. And so Sparrow did as you always must do if you're going to greet the great Sky Father, the gods, the queens, anybody. Got down low on knees and went into the home. And when the Sky Father saw the little Sparrow, what are you doing here? And Sparrow explained that desperate situation. Sky Father said, oh, I've been sleeping for a long time, so long that the clouds have scattered to all the corners of the earth. Don't worry, I will call them back. And so Sky Father picked up a great trumpet and blew it to the east and to the west and to the north and to the south, calling all of the clouds. And when they gathered together, the rain began to fall. And when the earth felt the first drop, she sighed. And when the birds and the animals felt the rain, they rejoiced. And when that little tiny sparrow came back, Sparrow was honored. Even today, many Africans will set a sparrow free. He was quiet for a minute, and so was I, thinking about the story that he had just told. And then Baba said, you know, all of our wisdom is in the old stories. Some people think a story like that is just for children, but no. How is it, ma'am, that the elders knew, just sitting like we are right now, that those modern day birds that we have, those aeroplanes, like one you took to visit to come on over here from your homeland over there, those aeroplanes cannot possibly penetrate the deep, dark space. No. If you want to reach the moon or travel around the universe, you need to have a rocket ship, or you need to have something so that one goes up and piece gets dropped down, and then the next piece goes up, and then the next, and then the next. Only then can you reach that destiny. How is it the ancestors knew that before the astronauts of our time? Wow. I wondered. I mean, when he said that, he shook me out of my own reverie thinking about that story, just thinking about life, you know? I mean, how is it whenever there's a problem or something, a goal to be reached, that isn't that really how it is, you know? Somebody has to call that mandatory meeting together and somebody's got to come up with an idea. Then you need somebody to do the first part and then the second part and then the third part. And then finally you reach that goal. Oh, whatever it is, maybe even that clinic in the back, where we were looking at that empty space and the mountain just beyond. By now, the sun was getting very close to setting. That mountain is called Maatulamela. It means the resting one, named for a resting goddess who gave birth to the sun. Baba turned to me and he said, Africa was a land of stories. I said, was? Come on now, Baba. Come on. Can't it be? Isn't she? Won't she be? And he looked at me with a big old smile. And he said, I don't know, ma'am. Maybe. You tell me. And then he shook his bones. And he got up. And he turned and he walked into the house.
Vuka vuka zol sesfigile a ulele na so gibeli basi zol siete guini a ulele na sabonu lwa ke zol igumba maka kazi a ulele na ulele na a ulele na a ulele na ulele na a ulele.